Okay, we're all together and ready for our session tonight. Tonight we're going to take on quality number 6, which is self-esteem. It's an opportunity for us to dig deep into really the primary mission for this project from the very beginning. We measured our thought processes. We're taking a look at those thoughts that are supporting us, those thoughts that are creating challenges for us. And in the end, our objective really is to be whole and complete, real and genuine and authentic, without the need to impress, pretend, and feel ashamed and fear. Dr. Robert S. Hartman, who did the math for this assessment, said, this is the most important task, the most difficult task in our mortal existence, and the highest level of maturity. So that's how we measure maturity, by how comfortable we are with ourselves. Are we willing to embrace our uniqueness, our pricelessness? Well, let's take a look at the assessment and see where we stand. This is self-esteem, top right-hand side. The first measurement is entitled Whole and Complete. Now, in the new assessment that's coming out the 1st of March, we're going to change this name to unconditional. And the unconditional on the 6th, we're going to change to forgiving. So let's explore that for a moment. If we're unconditional, then we are embracing, without condition, our infinite worth. Now, something that's finite is can be measured. Infinite's beyond measurement. So our infinite worth, and a human being is of infinite worth. We embrace our uniqueness and our pricelessness. We're comfortable in our own skin. We are fully available to serve others because we don't have a lot of dialogue going on in our head about us, whether we're worthy or not worthy. Now, one of the great challenges is when this assessment measurement starts to turn yellow, then we have some challenges in terms of how are we valuing ourselves. I want to read to you this one section in the new assessment guidelines. It says, occasionally your thoughts might discourage you from accepting yourself without condition or judgment. Should we choose to listen to these thoughts, we might become preoccupied with our shortcomings or painful past experiences, and create unrealistic conditions for self-acceptance. When expectations are unmet, we might reflect on past mistakes in an attempt to justify feelings of unworthiness. That must be the reason why it didn't happen. We might even believe that it is egotistical, prideful, or simply wasteful of time to focus on our value. There are those who say, well, I'm not supposed to focus on myself. I work some sackcloth and ashes. I'm supposed to be humble. No, we're supposed to be genuine. Genuine means that we embrace our genius, not to be boastful, but to use it fully in the service of others. We are to bring all of us present in the now in the service of others. Otherwise, we rob them and us of our greatest gifts and talents. Take a look at the next measurement, confident. When this measurement starts to turn orange, it's very interesting. It's usually that we're playing the comparison game. So we start to compare ourselves against other people. And it says the objective is when we are confident, we own the clay we've been given. We'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. An adjunct to our homework assignment last week. We embrace our uniqueness, our own natural genius, and act free of hesitation, doubt, and fear. Your thoughts might want you to question or even doubt the value of your appearance, unique talents, accomplishments, possessions, or what you do. Should we choose to listen to these thoughts, we might question our ability, have concerns about our appearance, doubt our competency, and downplay our accomplishments. These thoughts might want us to engage in the comparison game, comparing our very worst against someone's very best and beating ourselves up for not stacking up. Again, creating unrealistic standards for self-acceptance. Just think in terms of when you step out into the world, we talk about owning our clay. Last week our assignment was to do, an inventory of our clay, our strengths and our challenges. I got a sweet email this afternoon from one of our Tuesday night participants who said, okay, maybe it's clear to everyone, what do we do once we choose to own it? Now we've done this inventory, what do I do next? So I want to make it clear to everyone who's listening tonight or will listen to this recording, that once we take this clay, remember I shared with you last week that our options are to own it or resent it. Those are our two options. We resent it. We want different clay. We want somebody else's clay. We don't feel like this is enough clay, or it's the wrong clay, or it's bad clay. Well, the truth is, it's our clay. This is our clay. These are the circumstances in which we've been planted in order to ripen, as Og says in Scroll 8. So am I going to multiply my value 100-fold? Am I going to take my clay and make the most out of it that I can? That's the choice. I inventory it, then I choose it. I stop wasting any more time wanting something that will never be. Now, it doesn't mean I can't take my clay and create that. I absolutely possibly could. But ignoring my clay and wishing I had something else will never create anything other than resentment and resistance and rebellion. So if we have an orange measurement of confidence, particularly this measurement, it's telling us that we're at high risk to play this comparison game. And we play this, we'll always lose. Because we'll take the best from people. We won't see the other pieces that are going on in their life. Matter of fact, look across your assessment to this side, to the measurement respectful, and see if it's orange. Because we might be over-focused on those outward things we would like to see and miss what's really going on in the person's life. Wow, they look successful. That's what I want. So we take the best from them and the best from the next and the best from the next. And we create this composite person. And then we beat ourselves up for not stacking up to this impossible scenario. The other option, and it's the option we're going to want to choose, is to say, this is my clay. I'm going to take it and create the most I can with it. Because when I start to do this, that's when those strengths start to show up. That's when I discover my genius, my genuineness. That's when I'm acting on my own authority. That's when the universe, the power in the universe, can start to show up with us and put people on our path that we could serve and who could serve us. This is when we're actually given more clay, when we fully maximize the clay we've been given. And I said this last week. I said, there's no power in the universe that's going to give someone more clay if they're not valuing the clay they've already been given. So if we're playing this comparison game, this measurement and the assessment, let's take a good look and see what we can do to overcome this one. Now, the next measurement is called valiant, and this is a touchy measurement. When it's under focus, it's almost always, when it's out of balance, it's almost always under-focused. Now, sometimes we are loud and vocal. We're vocal, stating our beliefs and our opinions in an effort to try to feel better about ourselves. The most common, I'm going to read to you, says, when we are valiant, we stay true to our beliefs and values, we engrave them on our hearts, and they shape our character and guide our actions. That's the objective. When it starts to turn orange, your thoughts might encourage you to let other people's beliefs and values influence, impact, or even dictate your decisions and actions. You might even believe that you are not true to your convictions because you're not living up to your own expectations. I'm just making a correction in this document that I just wrote. Should we choose to listen to these thoughts, we might be tempted compromise, give in, or even give up our beliefs and values in order to please others, gain approval, or advance our career. We might appear to be submissive or even compromising. We might also be uncomfortable sharing your business. If you got a home-based business, for example, you might have challenges sharing it if we think we are not living up to our own expectations for success, even if they are unrealistic. So if you're in a home-based business and your measurement valiant is under focus, it's orange, just go, gosh, how often do I feel like I am living a nightmare and selling a dream? You might want us to come back and take a look at what we're sharing and how we're sharing and the promises we're making and what we're valuing. Are we valuing the self-improvement that we're going through? Are we encouraging others to join us in that effort? And I'm going to make a note here. Please look at mental creation, the characteristic contributor or honorable, to see if your thoughts are demanding perfection. If so, you'll always fall short and feel as if you're compromising your beliefs and values. So look at the very bottom, mental creation, second measurement, honorable, to see, wow, is that one orange or red? Because if it is, you may be holding yourself to a standard that's impossible, perfection. And what is the likelihood we'll fall short of perfection? 100%. Which means 100% of the time we're going to feel like we're letting ourselves down. So take a look at that and see if that could be a contributor to this measurement. Now, this measurement, peaceful, this is a fascinating measurement because it can go either way. It's more often under-focused than over-focused. By under-focused, I mean when you're ranking those words or phrases, you ranked it lower than its mathematical value. If it's over-focused, you ranked it higher than its mathematical value. You made it more important than it is. If we make it more important, here's what happens. This is the math behind it. Here I am. I'm this priceless, infinite, unique person, and I have an idea. What happens when someone doesn't agree with my idea? How personal do I make this? How personal is it? Take a look down at discipline and structure, your bottom left-hand corner, and see if analytical is orange or red. It is about 97% of the time. When we're obsessively, constantly thinking, we get attached to our ideas. And when we get attached to our ideas, it's personal. It's in the fiber of our being. And when someone doesn't agree with us, we have one of two choices. Just think which one might apply to you if you have an orange peaceful. One, I might push back a little bit because my worth is on the line. I might fight back just a little bit. Need to be right and forceful about it. The other side of it is that I'm going to give in, and the word is I'm going to give in to keep the peace, but I'm not happy about it. It hurts. Just ask yourself, have I ever been in a relationship where I have to keep giving up my ideas? I have to keep giving in to keep the peace. And are we getting resentful because of that? Something to explore. When we get into discipline and structure next time around, make a note to spend a little time on how to let go of the need to be right, how to find good in another person's idea, so that there might be a practical reason to let somebody else be right. So long as you still feel good about your idea and you don't sacrifice your idea with you. You are not your idea. We can be so attached to it that if we have to give up our ideas, like we're giving up part of ourselves. So take a look at that one and see if there's anything happening in that area. Now this next measurement, deliberate, when this one is out of focus, it is almost always under-focused. What that means is that I'm sitting here priceless, unique, infinite worth, and people keep having me do things, and my plate's already full. In the document it reads, when we are deliberate, we set appropriate boundaries regarding how we allocate our time, energy, and talents. We agree to do things for the right reasons. Well, potential challenges, your thoughts might want you to feel obligated to sacrifice your time, energy and even your well-being to meet the needs of others. Should we choose to listen to these thoughts, we might be tempted to volunteer for too many, and we could say far too many, time-consuming tasks, even when our schedule is already full. We might even accept tasks in an attempt to prove our worth. We might even think that the success of a task is dependent on our involvement. Think about this. Are we ever exhausted? Do you ever find yourself in the middle of a task wondering how you got there? Is your plate so full that valuable time is spent in overwhelm instead of doing the things that matter most to you? How do you really feel when you're so busy meeting the needs of others that there's no time left for you? Just take a look at that. We don't want to overreact and stop doing everything. This doesn't necessarily say we change what we're doing. But we might change how we're looking at what we're doing. Am I doing this to prove I'm okay? Bad idea. Am I doing this because I think I'm the only one that can do it? Bad idea. Am I doing it because I want to and get to and choose to? Great idea. Let's just shift our reason for doing it. And lastly, this measurement, which we have been calling unconditional, we're changing to the word forgiving. See how this sounds. When we are forgiving, we see our strengths and weaknesses in balance. Yesterday's defeats and yesterday's aches of the heart are powerless. We forgive ourselves and stay focused on living in the now and intentionally creating our lives. Now, this is a tender one, so anyone that might have an unconditional orange or red, just do up your seatbelt for a minute and just be with me. Because there are times when your thoughts might want you to be too focused on your faults and flaws and lapses in judgment or past mistakes. I'm just going to read from the manual. So should we choose to listen to these thoughts? We might feel that all is lost, that it is too late, that the mistakes of the past are too big, and that redemption is impossible. We might question, doubt, or minimize our self-worth because of these past mistakes. We might even appear to be unhappy, and gloom, and doom, and even miserable. Or glum is the word. As a result, we may compound past mistakes. This is a key piece. We may compound past mistakes by allowing them to destroy the potential for creating a better future today. Og talks about this at the beginning of Scroll 5 when he talks about, I'll live this day as if it is my last. This is a beautiful opening to this scroll. He says, and what will I do with this last precious day which remains in my keeping? And it's not that it's our last day, it's the last day we get this day. At the end of the day, it's gone. First, I will seal up its container of life so that not one drop spills upon the sand. I will waste not a moment mourning yesterday's misfortunes, yesterday's defeats, yesterday's aches of the heart, for why should I throw good after bad? In other words, we take this day that we could create good and we turn it into bad too. We just get to compound and pile on, if you will, our feelings about the mistakes we've made and the decisions that we've made. This is an opportunity for you tonight, if you've got an orange or red unconditional, to get clear on what it is that's creating this guilt, which means I feel bad about what I've done. If it's red, possibly even shame, I'm starting to feel bad about who I am. And let it go. Just let it go. Sounds like we have somebody that's driving in a car. If you would just press *6, that would be most helpful. Well, that's our six measurements for self-esteem. We know that the challenges we have here, and we all have dialogue that's negative. It's just part and parcel of life. There's just too much going on. But we want to be conscious enough that we don't allow destructive dialogue to stay around very long. You want to spend some time with the affirmations that are available in your intentional creation studio. Just go to your log on to augmandino.com, click the top right-hand side to log in. username, password, go to your assessment results, then click on creation tools. When you're in your creation tools, click on quality number 6. And in this self-esteem section, one of the very first things after your assessment is the affirmations. Listen to the affirmations and have them start to speak to you. I am unconditional. I see my strengths and weaknesses in balance. Yesterday's defeats and yesterday's aches of the heart are powerless. I can forgive myself and stay focused on living in the now and intentionally creating my best life. Spend some time with these affirmations and let them become part of your life. If you have a copy of The Observer's Chair, there's some affirmations in there for these 6 measurements. Start incorporating those into your life on a daily basis, because it's time to shift these thoughts. Now, healing this, how do we heal this? We know that we can have damage done to our self-esteem if we've got a secret in our life, like a drug addiction or alcoholism or something like that. We know that we can have damage to our self-esteem if we've had a traumatic event, perhaps child abuse, or been in an adult relationship that was abusive. That could do damage to these measurements, those circumstances of our life. We can feel less than. We know that the comparison game I talked about a few minutes ago can be very destructive because we're not owning ourselves. This is our clay. Let's own us. Let's choose us. I choose me. I choose my clay. And we know that the number one cause of damage is unmet expectations. Because when the mind sees possibilities and then starts living beyond them with the vividness that the vast majority of you have, it is so real to the mind. The body reacts to it. It is so real. And when life's not showing up that way, we hate our life. This is reality. This is the truth of it. And if we embraced this clay we have and started building with it, we create magnificent things, but we're holding it hostage to those expectations because it's not stacking up. Then we turn inward and we start to question our worth. You know, I can almost touch it. I can almost taste it. Why can't I have it? What's wrong with me? And that's when we start going into worth and worthiness and ability and beliefs and things we've made, mistakes we've made that we haven't been able to forgive ourselves of. That's when all that dialogue comes up. Most of the time is when we think something's wrong with us because our expectations have not been met. So healing. I'm going to walk through the healing so that when we go back through this process again, some of you have been through this several times. It's awesome. Because every time we come back, it's like a refresher course, a reminder. This is like we're taking on life in eight-week increments, you know, and each time we're getting a little better. When we go back next week and we start studying a connection with people, and we catch the vision that for us to be whole and complete, unconditional, embracing our uniqueness, being confident and valiant, peaceful, deliberate. When we want to embrace those pieces, we discover that one of the great secrets of success, healing our self-esteem, is showing up for another person. It's taking all that experience that we have that we're beating ourselves up over, taking it out of the sack, putting it in our heart, we'll talk about this more next week, so that we can hear differently, ask empathetic questions, and experience someone's walls coming down and their cooperation flooding out and filling this void in our soul. So the number one way to heal this is to turn outward and start focusing on serving others. That's the number one. It's hard to do, but we're going to go back to it again. Let's do it a little bit better this time. A little bit better. Let's listen a little better. Let's be more conscious in the moment. Let's react a little less when someone disagrees with us. Let's care a little bit more about the people we meet. And then we're going to go into mental creation. And we're going to learn how to use our mind constructively to get an inspired idea, because There are very few things that will heal self-esteem faster than getting an inspired idea, acting on it, and creating something you did not have before that moment. Wow, you're plugged into the planet. You're experiencing something at an extremely high level. Then we're going to practice being present in the now. We're going to discover that when we're present in the now, we've got our clay, we own our clay, and we're creating the most we can with our clay. We're spending time with ourselves. And we're magnificent. We're priceless. Infinite value. That begins to heal our self-esteem, because when we start to hang on with ourselves, we talk about procrastination, you know, when you finally jump in, you go, wow, that wasn't so hard. We're surprised when we shut off the noise and we show up. We want to start living more in the now, truly being ourselves. Then we're going to let go of discipline and structure. Let go of resistance and rebellion and be more disciplined and structured. We're going to embrace the fact that that voice that wants us to be rebellious and resistant is not us. And some of us have really owned it. We think that's who we are. And that rebellious nature that we have, that resistance to rules and structure that is required to build success in our lives, that resistance is a very powerful voice, but it is not us. We step back from it and say, I'm going to choose differently. You'll feel that resistance to even changing. But, oh, when you make that decision this time around, that when you are feeling like resenting something and you choose not to, you choose to jump in and do it, how good you feel. We want to be real and genuine and authentic. And authentic means being your true self, acting on your own moral authority, doing the next right thing for the right reason because you want to and get to and choose to. Some of us have been so rebellious for so many years. We feel like we're giving ourselves up to surrender. We feel like we're just giving ourselves up. We'll leave it at that for now. Then we want to go back and to join the journey and embrace those obstacles, create the most we can with our clay, find joy in the process, not just concerned about what we're doing, but how we're doing it. Then we'll come back to self-esteem. We'll revisit and see how we're doing. How are we doing? Because that's how we're going to heal it. We're going to heal it by going back through these other five qualities and applying the principles and living them. Living them. Now, some of your self-esteem challenges come from traumatic events or secrets that might be happening in your life. You may want to seek some professional assistance. Someone who can help you process through some of those things. The way you know if that's true or not is when you go to empty your sack next week, talk about the Chicago Dream, and you pick up the challenge. Can you empty the sack? Can you even look at the challenges? Can you pick up one of the challenges? Are you in a position where you can finally take a look at it and then engrave it on your heart? Let go of guilt and shame and resentment and anger and frustration and engrave it on your heart so it's there as a resource that when you're visiting with someone, listening to them, you hear things differently because you now own what you've been through. That's how you know, because if you can't do this piece, what you know is that event needs to be processed professionally. And you'll want to have a therapist assist you in that arena. That's our objective. Now I'm going to open this up for a few minutes. For anyone that's got a question or a comment tonight, excited for us all to launch into this holiday season. I know a lot of you have already traveled or be traveling first thing in the morning. We want you, as you're looking at this inventory you've made on your clay, to focus on those strengths and on those experiences that have shaped your character. And be thankful for them this holiday. On Thursday when you're gathered around the table, and if you're in Canada, you can do this anyway, but in the United States, we're going to gather around the table and and we have an opportunity to pause for a moment and look at these things and be grateful for them, because they really have shaped your character. You know, your character was forged in the furnace of adversity. And see these experiences as so unique and beautiful because of how they prepared you to serve in this day and time. So own those and have a glorious Thanksgiving weekend. Let's open this up. Is there anyone that I can serve this evening? Okay. Well, let's get ready for our holiday season. Go get a good night's rest. Some of you will be traveling tomorrow. Travel safely. Be careful. Have a joyous Thanksgiving. We'll be back next Thursday evening, and we're going to start taking on the first way that we heal self-esteem, by learning how to connect with and serve other people. Well, thanks, everyone. It's been a joy to be with you, and look forward to being with you next Tuesday evening. Moment of housekeeping. As we come into the December calendar, we have Christmas on the 25th and New Year's on the 1st, obviously. That's a Wednesday for both of those. So Christmas Eve on the 24th, we will not have this session. And on the 31st, New Year's Eve, we will not have this session. So we'll pick those. So we're gonna meet on the 3rd, the 10th, and the 17th. And then we will miss the 24th and 31st for the Christmas holiday. Thanks, everyone. Have a great week, and we'll be back with you next Tuesday night. Just come off of mute and say good night.
Good night, Dave. Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, Dave. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you so very much. Happy Thanksgiving to you all. Good night, everyone. Good night, everyone.